Hello, everyone, and good morning. We have a very special live feed update for you on the morning of July 15th. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I am joined today, luckily, by my great friend, Liana Boris. How are you doing, Liana?
I'm doing great. So excited to get into the feeds. Nothing happened today, so it seems like this will probably be a quick update, right?
Yes, it's sarcastic Liana joining sarcastic Taryn. It's very special. This is probably going to be a little bit longer than you're used to because there is a lot to go through here. I just tweeted out, it feels like 3 days happened in the last day. We went through nominations, we went through veto, we went through replacement talk, we went through this huge argument. This is absolute insanity, Liana.
That doesn't even include the bird and squirrels that made it into the puppy cage while the feeds were down.
Oh, man.
I know.
How could I have missed it?
It's insanity.
All right. So there's so much to break down. I want to try and go as chronologically as I can to like help you understand everything that happened, because there's a lot to go through and there's a lot to kind of wrap your mind around. A lot has changed in the past 24 hours. But right off the bat, the first thing I want to say is that on yesterday's update, I mentioned that I wasn't sure who had dumped out the Coke and hid the cat ears of Alex's. I said it might have been Jessica. It might have been Raven. I have been corrected. It is, in fact, Raven that did it, but she is lying and claiming that Jessica did. So Jessica is being blamed for that when she wasn't, in fact, at fault. But let's move on. Let's start to recap yesterday on the feeds. So we wake up in the morning and the plan is, all right, we're going to nominate Dominique and Jessica. Alex is like, people aren't even waking up to talk to me right now. So,
Mark took a 2-minute break from eating something out of a bowl to talk to her and essentially confirmed that he would be okay with Dominique going up and then possibly voting her out. So it seemed like things were pretty solid as far as Dominique being the at least assumed target this week. And it seemed like everything was set. We were settled. Everything was fine.
Yes. Did you mean Matt when you said
Matt,
Mark?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
Mark was too busy hiding under his hoodie for that to happen.
Yes. As soon as you said bowl, I think everyone knew that you meant Matt.
I haven't slept much.
Yes. And as Brett mentions, Christmas is still not even at the house at this point. So, okay. So Dominique does eventually go up and talk to Alex. She says that, first of all, I was not the third vote to evict Ramses. That's a lie. I feel like somebody in my group is betraying me. I feel like somebody is very jealous and insecure about my friendship with somebody else. Like lots of implying, no name dropping, but very much implying that Elena is throwing her under the bus. And Alex doesn't like this very much.
Yeah, so Dominique has this way of speaking in very non-direct kind of cryptic statements. And this is, she's been doing this for a while. I mean, since the first week in the house, and this is really going to catch up to her. And this is just one instance of that, where she's saying, you know, someone is jealous of someone and I's relationship. And, but she didn't say any names. However, like you said, Alex is very wary of this because Elena had gone to bat for Dominique and had defended, you know, I don't want to vote her out. But if she's, you know, if she's kind of shady, maybe. But Alex says, you know, I don't know if we can trust somebody who is so willing to throw an alliance member under the bus.
Yes. Alex is thinking at this moment, why is Dominique telling me that Elena is throwing her under the bus when Elena was in here yesterday campaigning to protect Dominique? This is really giving her bad vibes. And so this is as somebody mentioned in the chat, this is important later on in the day. Then we have some movement from Josh, who seems to be even further going toward these outsiders. He has some conversations with Alex and Jason. He really wants to work with them. He really is not super happy with the showmances, but he is still fully on board with Paul. He wants to move with Paul, pivot with Paul to Alex and Jason. He likes them. It seems like he wants to work with them. And that is also kind of important later on. Then we had a fight between Dominique and Ramses, because Dominique is starting to now feel like, there's blood in the water. She's starting to think, something's wrong here. I don't like where this is going. And she feels like Ramses might be at fault. So can you tell us about this fight?
Yeah, well, first of all, Ramses is somehow created this new archetype for himself as being not just a goat, but a scapegoat. Everybody now is throwing him under the bus. Alex said when they were trying to figure out who voted for who, Alex was like, oh, I bet Ramses threw the hinky vote. And then she's like, oh, no, but he was on the block. Like, he couldn't have voted for himself. So Ramses is put in this precarious position where Dominique, now sensing that something is wrong, she, you know, thinks that somebody on her side possibly is throwing her under the bus. But Ramses is, of course, the perfect scapegoat, has this very long conversation. Mark and Paul were also in the room where essentially Dominique confronts Ramses and, you know, is like, well, why are you throwing my name out? Ramses, you know, this all comes back to the whole banner thing, which apparently was a smoke thing, which Ramses refers to as a smoke thing, which it's skywriting. Yeah. I know he says it's easier to say a banner, but there's a word for it. So I don't know. And this whole conversation is just Dominique accusing Ramses. Ramses trying to defend himself. And, you know, ultimately Mark is like, well, we got to put up Ramses. So this is a source of contention that puts Ramses in trouble, but ultimately, you know, it's not going to matter, with what ends up happening later.
Yeah, you know, he talks about this guy. He does kind of admit, like, oh, I may, you know, I saw Mark and I'm pretty sure I saw Dom. Like, he left way too much to interpretation. And I think he really discredited, not that anyone believed it in the first place, but I don't think he did himself any favors. He also talked about, like, Dominique, you sing the song every time I come around you. And I feel like it. Do you know what the song
is? Yeah,
was?
Okay. So this is a Drake song. It's Fake People Showing Fake Love. Are part of the lyrics, right? And Dominique, she claims that, oh, I just really like that song. I just really like that song. It has nothing to do with you. And Ramses is like, you sing these lyrics, fake people showing fake love, and then look at people, sort of, again, implying that there is some sort of distrust that these are fake people showing fake love. And she just continues to emphasize, Dominique, that, oh, she just genuinely likes that song. I have been off the Dominique is a okay or decent player bandwagon now for a while. And this is just another example of how bad a player she is. Put two and two together, Dominique. You don't want to be saying fake people showing fake love. Like, I don't care. Pick a different song, please. I know you like it, but come on.
Puya says Dom subtweets people in real life.
Oh my God. That is so true.
Yes, it is. She genuinely feels like, as long as I don't come out and say it explicitly, I can then deny it and nobody can fault me, which is just not the case.
Yeah, no, that logic makes no sense. Yes, okay, you never officially said a name, but that actually looks shadier because now you look like you are possibly targeting people that you may actually not be, and it just puts a lot of doubt in people's minds and allows them to make assumptions about what she actually thinks. Not a good move, Dominique.
Yeah. All right, so then Christmas has finally returned. She comes back into the house, and this is actually a very, very sad moment. She comes back into the house. She reveals that the reason she was gone extra long was because they weren't able to manage the pain properly enough to get her back into the house. And she has, in fact, broken 10 bones. I believe she dislocated 4. I think she actually needed a donor bone because one had just been destroyed. And then she is asked, well, you're going to get full mobility back. And at that moment, she broke into tears and said that actually the surgeon said that I'm going to get arthritis within a year, and then I will need surgery years later and potentially never get full mobility back, and that her athletics career is probably over at this point. And this is an extremely real and awful moment to be watching live on the feeds.
Yeah, I know. This was really unfortunate. I mean, in all of this day of craziness, Christmas finally comes back, and then you kind of have this bomb dropped where she's essentially dealing with this injury that's going to disrupt a lot of her career being, you know, doing competitive athletics and CrossFit. So it's really unfortunate. The only one thing that happened was Raven seems to be jealous of this and like took her sock off when Christmas comes back in to show her stitches, and then all of a sudden gets a limp back. So I don't know what that's about, but I do feel bad for Christmas in this instance.
Yes, this is something that's starting to rub people the wrong way, where, you know, Christmas is coming back talking about all this, and, you know, Raven usually finds a way to make it about herself, people aren't enjoying that too much. She's like, yeah, well, I'm going to be crap in 2 years anyway. We can just be roommates in the pity party, I guess. I don't know. Christmas then has a talk with Jason, who is obviously feeling kind of bad about this. He understands that it wasn't his fault, but you can see in his face as she's talking about the arthritis and the mobility, he feels pretty awful. And I think anybody would. And Christmas is making sure to tell him that, look, this isn't your fault. I have never said that it is your fault. She has, but, you know, it was in the heat of the moment. Yeah.
This is what happens when you save a horse and ride a cowboy. So,
yes. So, yeah, they had a nice conversation about, you know, this. Don't blame yourself. And Christmas seems to be taking this really well. She wants to stay in the house. She wants to be strong. She wants to show people that you can, in fact, overcome these things. And I mean, obviously her entire career, her life is just in flux right now, and she really wants to stick this through. And I have to say, I am still on board with, you know, I think this should be Christmas's decision. This is a discussion that's happening inside the house as well, with Paul and Matt especially talking about, like, you know, she should maybe just leave. I don't know if this is the right place for her. And I agree with the sentiment, but I think that as long as the producers feel comfortable, it should be her choice. What do you think, Liana?
Yeah, I mean, so, right, this discussion has been going on now for a very long time about Christmas, whether or not she should be able to stay, whether or not her being able to leave the house was unfair. I do think that it is her decision. However, if she can't play in a number of competitions, like, it does seem very odd that she would be allowed to stay. I guess, look, the executive producers are probably listening, obviously, we all know right now.
Oh, yeah.
But this is a fact of the game. She has made the decision. She's being allowed to stay. So what I'm more curious about is how this is going to impact gameplay moving forward. So, for example, her and Jason having this very close conversation, you know, how does that strengthen the bond between them? How does that put Christmas, you know, in with the, quote, other side, the outsiders, Alex and Ramses and them? So, you know, assuming that this is a fact, I just want to think about how this is going to impact the game moving forward.
Yes. And so there is another aspect of this, which is very unfortunate. It appears as though there may have been some information that did, in fact, leak when Christmas was on the outside. She has been talking about the third vote to evict Ramses, and she has been telling people, listen, who was the second vote? Because I might know some things, and if I know who voted second, then I think I'll be able to tell you who voted to evict Ramses. And as we all know, Kevin was the second vote. So reading between the lines, it sounds like somebody didn't hang up the call after she voted, and she was actually able to hear Julie read out the vote count going into the commercial break. So she knew it was 3-0. And so she knows whoever voted second, because she knows Jessica voted first, is in fact the third Ramses vote. Luckily, everyone she has talked to has either said, I don't remember who voted second, or it was Paul, who, even if he did remember, is trying to say, oh, no, I'm not sure. I don't know. Because he doesn't want to out Kevin, obviously.
Right. So as far as I know, Paul is the only one who knows for sure that Kevin is the one who voted for Ramses. Mark has an assumption, but doesn't have confirmation. So Paul is definitely, even if he doesn't remember that Kevin was the one who voted second, knows that Kevin is the one who did cast that hinky vote. And so he is, like you said, doing his best to still protect Kevin in this circumstance. And so I don't know, you know, I thought that this was going to blow up and Christmas was going to go around interrogating everybody. But since kind of this house meeting that ends up happening later, that seemed to have been pushed under the rug. So I don't know if it's going to come back out and there's going to be more discussion about these hinky votes, but it is something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, hopefully with everything else that happened today, this kind of just gets dropped. But I will say, even though I think Christmas should be allowed to stay despite the injury, I think that this is a huge, huge mistake by production. And if anything, I think that Christmas might should potentially get pulled because she found out this information due to production. And I think at that point you have to say that's a line too far. She should not know this information. Kevin should not be penalized because production messed up and let Christmas know the vote count like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of the reservations against Christmas being allowed to go out into the house is that she kind of gets this mental break. She doesn't have to deal with all the paranoia, but this is direct production information that she is learning because of her circumstance being outside the house. Frankly, I'm surprised the production didn't shut it down. I expected more of a stop that when Christmas was talking about it, but she has brought it up multiple times to multiple people. So I don't know if they're going to talk to her in the DR about it or if production is even frankly concerned that this happened, because at this point it doesn't seem like they are.
I would think at the very least they should be like, look, you need to drop this. If you continue along this lines, we have to pull you because you have outside information. Right now, she doesn't know who the vote was. And as long as nobody tells her, this is like, it's not going to harm anything. But honestly, I think from my point of view with the game, production messed this up and it sucks for Christmas that it happened. But I think because they gave her that information, I think they should pull her from the game. Kevin should not be penalized for production's mistake. And it's, again, it's unfortunate for Christmas that she has to be penalized, but I'd rather see Christmas penalized than somebody who was not on the receiving end of that mistake.
Well, maybe Kevin could just start taking his clothes off and then that'll settle everything.
Yes. Okay. So Christmas is back. She gets caught up pretty quickly. And I mean, she's talking about her conversation with Cody. There's lots of stuff with Christmas. It's a lot of it is just her getting caught up. Then we get to, while Christmas is getting caught up, Alex has a conversation with Elena where she lets Elena know, hey, earlier this morning, Dominique was telling me that you're jealous, that you're insecure, and that you've been targeting her and betraying her. And at this point, Elena's like, whoa, this is not cool.
Yeah, I've never quite understood this one-way feud. I mean, I think it just simply comes from the fact that Dominique is jealous of Elena because of her relationship with Mark. And because Elena has, like we said, gone to bat for Dominique and has stood by her. And so now for her to hear that, you know, Dominique told Alex, oh, she's throwing you under the bus, although she didn't say any names. I just want to clarify, she didn't say any names. This is definitely a shock to Elena and starts to turn her against Dominique and to really consider voting Dominique out.
Yeah, yeah. This is Elena is starting to turn here. And at this point, the nominations happen and Dominique and Jessica do go on the block. And Mark is not happy about this.
Oh my gosh, Mark, I took a screen cap of this because Mark is just sitting in a chair talking to Alex, his head like completely down. I know the podcast version, that's going to translate well, but and then he just like pulls his hood up. He is not doing well. He feels horrible. I mean, it's been said multiple times that he is an emotional player. We see this often, and he feels bad for Dominique. He wants to go to bat for her. He's trying to defend her. Meanwhile, Paul is like, dude, you got to jump off. You know, there's a lot of people who are already against her. Matt and Raven had confirmed that they would be okay voting out Dominique. Yeah, Matt is not in a good place.
Mark. Mark. Yeah, Matt and Mark. We need to get rid of one of these people eventually. So Mark is not happy. He's at this point, he's like, all right, guys, if the votes aren't here to save Dominique, then I'm done with the group here because this is not good. He expects that they will be able to save him at this point. And he then talks with Dominique, who is telling him, your girlfriend knew about this. She knew. She told me to go talk to Alex. There's, you know, the group has betrayed me. This is the worst. Dominique at this point is going full out, like, you know, like, bring everyone down with me. I am on a rampage. I'm going to go after people. But the group betrayed me. And she's right. They did. Matt and Raven, she said that Matt and Raven basically had no reaction to her being put up on the block. And so she anticipates that they must have known as well. She expects that Elena knew because she thinks that Elena was jealous and so on and so forth.
And has something to do with it. Like, this is Elena's fault.
Yes. And she thought that she saw Paul and Raven having some sketchy conversations earlier. And so she also thinks that Paul isn't on this. So she basically thinks that everyone in the group has betrayed her except for potentially Mark. And she's letting Mark know that. And this is, again, this is sort of the beginning of the end for Dominique, for today at least. This is the start of everything that happens later.
Yeah, exactly. This definitely starts the ball rolling with, she goes to her bed, she puts the covers over her head, she isolates herself. The only person she hugged at the end of the nomination ceremony was Mark. And so she is, you know, by doing this, not, you know, she doesn't start to repair any type of bond or really get a sense of what's going on, and makes the assumption that her alliance automatically turned against her.
Yes. So at this point, Mark is very angry at, especially Mark, Mark is angry at Matt and Raven, thinking, you know what? I'm going after them next week. He's thinking they turned their backs on us. They're the worst. Then Mark goes and talks to Alex, who lets him know, look, Dominique has been really sketchy. A lot of people have been expressing concerns, and now Mark is starting to get it through to his head. Like, Dominique is the target here, and she might be going home. People might be lying to me about where they're voting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this, all of the suspicion started from her talk show that she did, and it's just continued to spiral. Dominique has done a horrible job of playing this. She just continues to dig herself deeper and deeper into the hole, and finally Mark now is realizing that yes, she is the target and she is in danger of going home. And this is all still like just right after nominations.
Yes. And this, again, Alex uses this very damning information that Dominique gave her earlier in the day, telling Mark that Dominique came to her and said that Elena is jealous and insecure. And earlier in the day, Elena had been campaigning to keep Dominique, so it really sketched her out. And so Mark at this point is like, oh man, this is not good. I don't like what's happening right here. Right
not
now.
Good. Not good.
Yes. Mark then goes to Paul and talks to Paul, and Paul is saying, look, we're going to try to save Dominique. Don't worry about it. We've got the votes, but don't push too hard. Don't put your neck out on the line too much here, because you don't want to ruin your game for Dominique, which is kind of conflicting information, right?
Yeah, well, you know, Paul is doing a very good job playing all of the people in this situation. And so by reassuring Mark that, look, you know, I think we have the votes to keep her, just don't push too hard. I wonder what that says. Like, maybe they don't actually have the votes. And Mark, you know, I mean, Mark is just this puppy dog who's so emotional and clearly isn't making logical decisions. So just by Paul kind of corralling him and keeping him maybe in a sort of stable place for now, that's what Paul is trying to do.
Yes, Paul really has been running around like a madman. I mean, he talked to Dominique earlier in the day and talked to her about his conversation with Alex and kept her on the level. Paul has been running around to everyone. Everyone still thinks that they have Paul on their side, except for Dominique now, who is very suspicious of Paul. And at this point is starting to run around and talk to people saying, I feel like Paul, there's a snake in the house. There's a betrayer, a tempter. And also Paul is doing some things. There's no connection between the two necessarily, but Paul is doing some things, and there's definitely a snake in the house. Just saying.
Okay, but well, I don't know. She didn't say any names, though, so I just want to clarify that. She just implied it. You know, it's so funny because, yeah, Dominique is onto Paul. Oh, look at what Paul's doing. But this is sort of like what happened with Cody, where Cody is onto Paul. Who is Cody going to go to? You know, he didn't have the votes. There were still so many people who were supporting Paul. And this is how it's similar in this situation where, yes, Dominique is seeing through what Paul is doing. But because everybody is so loyal to Paul and still trusts Paul, you know, she's not able to flip anybody over to her side and to help them, I guess, as she might say, see the light.
Yeah, so at this point we're thinking, man, what a day, right? Lots of stuff has happened,
so
lots of stuff is shifting. And then we find out, hey, we're picking players for the veto competition tonight.
Yeah, so feeds go down. I was like, oh, perfect. You know, I'm going to like take care of a couple things. And we come back and then Paul is like, yeah, well, we picked players for the veto competition, so we're going to play the veto competition, as if nothing else has happened in this house. We needed more drama.
Yes. So ultimately, Alex, Dominique, Jess, Jason, Kevin, and Christmas are going to be playing in this veto. And then pretty quickly, they play the veto. Feeds come back and Jason has won.
Yes, Whistlenut went ahead and won the veto. And I'm not 100% sure what the veto competition was, something with laps. They didn't really discuss it since there was a lot of other stuff going on. But Whistlenut was the one who was able to pull out the win in the end.
Yes. And right away, Jason wants to take down Jessica. and replace her with Raven, because he feels like Raven, she's somebody from that other side. It guarantees that one of the other side leaves. And Raven, she's so likable. Everyone feels so bad for her. It'll ensure that Dominique leaves. Alex is on board with this, but Paul doesn't like it so much.
No, Paul, you know, has gotten confirmation from Matt and Raven that they would vote out Dominique. So he was like, well, why would we put her up if she's going to, you know, vote with us? Also, I think he's trying to keep that pair safe and keep that pair in his back pocket. And so that they, you know, there won't be any negative ramifications for him if Raven were to be nominated.
Yes. And Nikki in the chat, thank you for pointing that out. Jessica did, in fact, pick Jason with the house guest choice, which is interesting to note. Definitely. Jason has done some work with Jessica, and it's good. It's probably good for him to see that she is, in fact, feeling like she can trust him with the veto. And that probably plays into why he wants to veto her so bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jessica's in the house, by the way. I don't know if anybody knows this, but she's still there, which is so funny because, you know, it's when it started, Alex was like, oh, yeah, well, we're just going to put Jessica up because this will sort of appease the other side. Dominique is our real target. You know, Jessica, I think, is going to end up being loyal to Alex, because, well, I mean, I don't know if this is partially like her relationship with Cody. I don't know if some of the loyalty that Cody has rubbed off on her. I don't know if that's sexually transmitted, but she does seem to have some sort of loyalty to Alex and that crew. Just a side note. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. Yes. Jessica and Ramsey's the top two targets for this week. Basically nowhere to be found so far. So, yeah. It's really shifted. So Paul wants Mark to go up on the block instead of Raven. He wants Mark to be the pawn. His reasoning is, look, Mark is a vote for Dominique. He's going to be campaigning for her. Also, if Mark is on the block, it guarantees Elena's vote because Elena will definitely vote out Dominique over Mark. It makes a lot of logical sense, and that's why he's able to get through to Alex. But Jason does not like it at all. He's saying, I want Raven up on that block. Why does Paul get to be the boss? And Alex, yet again, is like, listen, sit down, Jason. Let the big boys talk. Paul and I know what's happening here. We understand the game. You don't, Jason. Poor Jason, always getting pushed around by Alex.
Just like he gets pushed around by bulls in the rodeo. But he's so bad. He's just so bad. I like it when he gets fired out. That's very exciting. But his game sense is just not there.
Basically. So Alex does have a conversation with Jason. They are still skeptical of Kevin. He is not completely out of the woods yet. They are, you know, they're still kind of like, I'm not sure about Kevin. I don't know about these votes completely. But they still haven't confronted him. They're still not going after him anytime soon. But he's not completely in the clear. This suspicion from last week has not gone away. And especially if this thing with Christmas, knowing the votes, ultimately does come out, I do think it will be pretty harmful to him. But even if this comes out, I don't think anybody will care all that much. I think at this point, it's the kind of situation where it's like, I like this guy. I don't want him to be lying to me. So even if he is, it's like, can I just ignore that and just like, let's just keep working with him, right?
Yeah, any of that sinking suspicion, just like lock it up, put it in the back of your head, swallow the key, don't think about it. But it's so funny because Kevin was, you know, he made this joke about, I think I'll be getting my own talk show soon, or like I'll be able to host the talk show soon. So he says he's on board with getting out Dominique, but you know, it's interesting that these hinky votes keep coming up. People keep talking about them. And while there's no immediate direct ramifications, I think that having uncertainty, having three hinky votes, you know, even though people suspect that it was Christmas and Kevin, it still throws that larger alliance into question. And I think it allowed Alex and Jason and that side of the house to feel more confident that they could have some fractures form, right? Because if it had been 9-1, then, you know, maybe Alex would have been more timid to try and take a shot. But that's how I think these hinky votes are really playing a role. It's just causing so much uncertainty, and it allows Alex to feel more confident to put up Dominique.
Absolutely. And that's what she said right away when she won HOH. She was like, you know, I was going to go along with the plan, mm-hmm. but this hinky vote really throws a wrench into things. It's a great reason to go out. And at this point, like, the reason for going after Dominique was, oh, she must be the hinky vote. And then now people are like, she probably wasn't, but still, she's still sketchy. So, yeah, I mean, it really opened that door, and basically Dominique stepped right through it and said, hey.
Yeah, really good player.
Yes. So again, Dominique is now running around talking to people one-on-one, implying that Paul is a snake. And this is really not looking good for Dominique, because they're running right back to Paul and saying, Dominique is saying these things and then saying that there's a snake in the house. I think it's pretty clear that she's implying that you're the snake. And Paul is just having none of that. He gets confirmation that Dominique went to Alex and said that as well. And so again, there's a storm brewing with Dominique, but meanwhile, they're still trying to iron out this whole pawn situation. They bring Mark up into the HOH room, I believe in the HOH room, and they're like, hey, look, we need a pawn to put on the block. It should be you. You don't want to have to go against Dominique. You don't want to have to vote against her, right? Mark is not super happy about this plan, though.
No, I mean, he's not super happy. And actually, Elena throws out, she's like, look, I'll go up, you know. And then, of course, that triggers Mark. He's like, no, you don't go up. You know, maybe I'll start to consider going up. And like we said, he's emotional. And they're explaining to him logically why this makes sense. Although it's so funny that they would explain it to him. Like, this is why you have to go on the block, because you're going to vote for her. And so I think that that's how they're trying to convince him. It's not like, oh, okay, you're for sure going to be safe, because he has concerns about, oh, I'm going to end up going home if I go up on the block. So he's very hesitant about it, but he starts to come around on the idea, because he does acknowledge that there is this logical reason for him to go up.
Yeah, and yet again, Paul doing some pretty good work here. He ends up coming up to the HOH room like, oh, what are you guys talking about? And Mark is like, oh, they want to put me up as a pawn. Oh, what an interesting idea that I came up with secretly. And he pretends this is the first time he's hearing of it. And Alex and Jason are letting him do that. And he then is able to subtly be like, well, I'm on your side, Mark. But what they're saying does make logical sense, you know. And yeah. I mean, really, he's playing Mark pretty well here. And ultimately, they do kind of get Mark to be on board with this, though he is still very skeptical of the idea of a temptation ruining his chances if he does go up on the block.
Yeah, I mean, Paul's gameplay was very Derek-esque in the sense that it's like, no, I agree with you. I see what you're saying, but... And then, you know, here's the logic of why these other people are making sense. To go to the temptation, because that hasn't happened yet, and typically it does, the house guests think that it has something to do with nominations. And so Mark still thinks that there could be something involved with that, and he is still a little hesitant to going up. But, you know, as we know, as outsiders, there's not going to be any temptation this week, but the house guests don't know that.
Yes. And I mean, in this moment, Mark is still just like, well, I mean, let's drop the situation of me being on the... Why does Dominique still have to go home? Why is Dominique... At this point, he's still like, well, I don't even want Dominique to go home, let alone me be a pawn next to her. What are you... Like, guys, come on.
I know. He's still defending Dominique. Like, no, boy, stop.
Yes. So it's at this point that everything is coming to a head, and Paul is like very angry with Dominique, saying that he's a snake. I mean, I guess it really hits him hard knowing that he's being called a snake when he knows that Nicole is the true snake from last season. So I can see why this really touches a nerve with him.
I'm trying to think. So if it's Snake Hole, Snapal? No, that's not very good. We'll workshop that.
There must be like a type of snake that can fit into the Paul name somewhere, like Vipal or something.
Vipal. That's great. Well, I think that there are two major things that sort of happen before all of this, like you said, comes to a head. And one is that Dominique is running around a snarl. That's so pathetic. I love it. Paul has heard that Dominique has been running around and not throwing his name, but like implying that he is a snake. That's the first thing. And the other thing is that Paul has heard from three people that Dominique is coming after him, or doesn't trust him, or thinks that he's a snake. So those are sort of the like two major bullet points before we end up having this very tumultuous quasi house meeting.
Yes. So Paul is saying, look, I'm going to confront Dominique. This is going to happen. She's calling me out. I'm going to call her out. So he starts talking to Dominique. Dominique is like, whoa, 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 let's get an audience for this thing. And we get a house meeting at about five or six in the morning, which is not the most common occurrence in the Big Brother house. Usually house meetings are not quite at this time, but we get it's not everyone. Kevin and Ramses and Jessica are still asleep, but we ultimately get a lot of people up there. Josh even butts in at one point. And so basically this argument goes around in circles quite a lot of times, but Paul is saying, you called me a snake. Why are you calling me a snake? And Dominique says, I did not call you a snake. In no way did I call you a snake. And Paul is like, well, what did Alex say then? And Alex is saying, look, Dominique said that there is a snake in the house and that Paul is running around and doing things and that I need to watch out for the snake in the house and that Paul is running around doing things. So Paul is like, so you heavily implied that I'm a snake. And she's like, and Dominique is saying, maybe I implied it, but I did not call you a snake. And this is the fundamental part of the art. This is where it starts, and this is kind of where it ends. And it's this fundamental lack of like admitting that she was trying to call Paul a snake that ultimately sinks Dominique in this argument, because she continues to deny the fact that she called him a snake when everyone knows that she just heavily implied it. But heavily implying something is basically the same as saying it. And this just undermines everything else that she says. And she has a good case because Paul is lying to people. He is a snake. And she even has some good info on him, but she's not able to get it out in a way that people are buying because she's just hiding behind this veil of like, I'm not going to say names. And also, I did not call you a snake. Don't worry about, like, that's not what I said. And this is just, it's not looking great for Dominique here.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. This is her pattern of speech where she won't, I don't know what it is, because she doesn't want to say any names. She doesn't want to be implicated in anything. But because she speaks so cryptically, that just causes more doubt. Because even though she does have, like you said, solid arguments against Paul and why everyone should be wary of Paul, she just does it in such a way that makes her seem distrustful, because she's not willing to say, look, you know, A, B, C, D, this is what I know. Whereas Paul, in contrast, does that. And so he comes off looking as the more straightforward one, the more honest one, even though he's the one that's probably telling more lies in the house.
Yes. And we've made comparisons to Paul with to Derek with Paul. And this, again, reminds me a lot of the house meeting that Derek calls when Zach is talking too much to Victoria and stuff is getting around. And basically gaslighting and being like, no, and just continually pointing out inconsistencies in what Dominique is saying, even though she has a lot of truth in there. He knows that he can point to, okay, one of the things that Dominique said about Paul was that she had a conversation with him where he said, don't have private conversations. He advised her not to have private conversations, and that rubbed her the wrong way. And Paul then says, whoa. We had a conversation where you came to me saying that there were people talking to you saying that I was being sketchy and that you were saying that those people were lying. So I was saying, look, if you have a problem with me, you should just come to me. Don't have private conversations. Come to me first. And he's able to spin it in a way where that sounds much more believable than what Dominique is saying. And so it discredits Dominique. And then there's other things where he had a conversation with her earlier in the day where he said, look, the group is, I need to take a step back, reevaluate what's happening with the group, see who's loyal to me and who's not. And she says, oh, you said the group dissolved. And that's not what I said. I said this. And he then spouts out exactly what he said. And that's, again, knowing what you said, this is also kind of Vanessa-esque, where knowing exactly what you said and being able to repeat it is very, very helpful, because then Christmas is later able to back Paul up and say, yeah, you said that exact same thing to me as well. So the fact that she's trying to twist it means that she must be lying. And this, again, this is an instance where Dominique is telling the Dominique has more truth in her than Paul, but the way that she's trying to say it is not working out. Paul is able to discredit her on some little things here and there. And because people are loyal to Paul and they want to believe Paul, they're willing to look at those little inconsistencies and say, the whole picture must be inconsistent because that's what I want to see. And this is my evidence for it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is where perception is reality, and how they perceive Paul to be. And they, yeah, exactly. Thank you. How they perceive Paul to be acting truthfully. That's what matters. And I think the fact that there were so many people who were already sort of distrustful of Dominique before this whole house meeting went down, I mean, this simply is just the nail in the coffin and pushes her further down, with the possibility of being evicted this week. One thing that I will say is that as the conversation conversation progresses, you know, Dominique says, I never called you a snake. I never called you a snake. Then she says that Paul has snake tendencies.
Yes.
Which I just love as a phrase. And I know that I'm sure she's speaking in like the colloquial way of that you're a backstabber, but I like to think that it's more the literal way of like maybe he exfoliates too much or can like unhinge his jaw and eat something that's three times the size of his head. But yeah, so she kind of starts to bring this up. Oh, you have snake tendencies. And then eventually we get to a head where Dominique says, you know, calls Paul out. Yes, I am talking about Paul, but this takes hours of conversation, and Christmas in there high on pain pills because she took her pain pills right before. So I was like, can I get some Percocet too? Because I really need that for this conversation. And continues to hammer this home. And finally, I think infiltrator is another word that she was using.
Yeah.
So Dominique is like, yes, Paul was the infiltrator. You know, he is the one that's doing all of these things.
Yeah, the whole, I didn't say Paul is a snake. He's not a snake, but he does have snake tendencies. That's like, that's when you're like, oh, you're not a, you know, you're not a bee. You just act like a bee sometimes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing. Nobody cares about the small difference in those two things. It's just not great. And yes, Christmas is then, you know, Christmas, it's the 1-2 punch of Paul being like, no. This is how it is. This is what I'm saying. You're lying. You're stop lying to me. And then Christmas being like, look, Dominique, just, if there's an infiltrator, who's the infiltrator? It's good cop, bad cop, and it really is effective here. And for a long time, as you mentioned, for a long time, Dominique is like, I'm not going to say who the infiltrator is. I'm not going to name names. She then eventually says it's Paul. She tries to bring up valid information. Paul has been talking to me about Alex's conversations with him. Paul has been saying these things about you guys, but she's not able to bring up specifics like Vanessa would have. And because of that, Paul is able to say, well, where are the specifics? What you keep saying that I'm being sketchy, but what, how am I being sketchy? Tell me exactly what I said, because the few times that you have brought up something that I said, I've been able to prove you wrong. And that's where he's again able to discredit her. And she ultimately then leaves the room and she's like, all right, I said my piece. You shouldn't trust Paul. He's a snake. But I'm leaving. And again, this is like, I know that you don't want to be annoying to these people, and it might just be a standoff if you never leave. But by leaving, you're letting Paul stay there, and the conversation is never going to turn to your favor after you leave, because they're just going to stay up and talk with Paul about, and they're obviously not going to be like, well, Paul, that didn't look good for you. They're going to be like, oh, Paul, yeah, you totally won that. Definitely. Leaving after throwing in that bomb just isn't a good idea. You need to be able to do the work afterward as well. And so Dominique at this point has even lost Mark, who is telling Paul, I'm jumping off her ship. I'm with you 100%. Dominique has completely tanked her game at this point.
Yeah, it's so funny because normally, you know, if you throw a grenade, you should run the other way. In this circumstance, you got to go run and then kind of hop on that grenade in order to prevent, you know, any further damage. Because what happened is she left and then it allowed everybody else to continue to talk. And of course, Paul, being, you know, a smarter game player, stays and gets all of the sympathy and is able to kind of continue to rehash this conversation, but frame it from his perspective. This is why Dominique, you know, this is why Dominique is lying, or this is why Dominique is untrustworthy. Whereas if Dominique had stayed, she would have been able to at least continue to advocate for herself.
Yes. And I think, to be fair to Dom, this is something that she was talking about throughout the conversation. She does feel an added pressure because of her race. She feels like she's not able to really just go and fully defend herself and fully like get engaged in this argument, because she doesn't want to be portrayed as the angry black woman. And that's something I think that we can have sympathy for. And I think it's unfortunate that that is hindering her ability to defend herself in this argument. However, her tactics, even despite that, with saying, look, I'm not going to defend myself. I'm not even going to say anything to defend myself. I'm not going to say any of these words. I'm not going to call people out. I'm not going to say who the person I think is a snake. And I'm going to deny certain things. It's unfortunately, I think, a situation where she definitely has some credence in terms of, like, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. But I also think that she definitely handled this poorly despite that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always a lot of like associates with like. And so if you are different from the group in any way, be it your age, race, orientation, that can put you at a disadvantage because you feel like you can't, you know, fully integrate with the group because you have something that is different from all of these other people. And Dominique definitely feels that and feels, you know, I mean, she is one of the black women in the house this season. And so I think that there's a burden on her that she doesn't want to be portrayed as, like you said, as this, you know, very angry, outspoken kind of caricature of a player. But so I understand that, but that doesn't mean you need to stop playing. Right. You can still continue to do this and, you know, maneuver in the house. Just you need to take a different tact. And frankly, one that will probably benefit her, you know, better in the long run is not being so outspoken, but just staying around, listening to people, hearing what they have to say, and just building these connections and trying to understand where these people are coming from instead of attacking them.
Yes. And I do think that she did handle it. In terms of keeping her emotions in control, I think she handled it very well. Paul was very outspoken. He was very aggressive and she was remaining very calm. And normally that's a great tactic to take. I think that it could have worked had she implemented better strategies in terms of being upfront with people about, like, yes, I did call Paul a snake. Yes, I did say these things about Elena. Yes, I did do all of these things. And here's why. I think that she could have come out looking really good there. But because Paul was being so aggressive, he was constantly interrupting her. He was basically being the Brent of that conversation. And it really, it could have allowed her to look, come out looking really good. But she unfortunately just, she didn't quite know exactly what wheels to turn and what things to say. And she just, her philosophy in terms of, because I didn't actually say a name, I get to deny the fact that I said it. Just, it doesn't work. And it makes you look really not credible.
Yeah, I mean, not to hamper on that, but her cryptic way of speaking really just works against her, even though she thinks it's in her favor. Because she thinks she didn't say anything, then that means that she's in the clear and she can deny things that were said. But that's not the way it comes across to other people.
Yes. So then finally, the argument is over. They then talk again. They continue talking for like 2 hours, or maybe it was just an hour, but it felt like 2 hours about like we're going to keep continuing to rehash exactly what just happened and talk about how we definitely don't trust Dominique. She's definitely going home. We definitely trust Paul. All of that's good. Paul completely wins this. He comes out looking very good here. I mean, I'm very impressed with what Paul is doing. Again, he has been immune. He has had some advantages. However, I am very impressed with what he's doing. I've called it Derek Light before. If he continues to do this when he's not immune, I will be very, very impressed, continue to be very, very impressed, because he really came away from this. This was a tricky situation. I still disagree with the move of targeting Dom in the first place, but I think he's been able to handle it really well. And everybody leaves this thing thinking, you know what, Paul, he is so upfront and honest, and he didn't allow anybody to mar his integrity. Paul is just a stand-up guy.
Yeah, I do think that Paul was maybe more aggressive than he needed to be, but this continued insistence that, you know, he plays with integrity and he is willing to call people out, that is causing all of these other players to fall by his side and to really appreciate his gameplay and think that he is this stand-up player and they want to continue to work with him.
Yes. And I do think that another aspect of comparing it to Derek is that he's basically running through Derek's game, but in a very condensed timeline, right? Where like Derek, when he had to call this house meeting, it was like halfway through the game. Paul is kind of going through this really quickly, and he's obviously a lot sloppier than Derek. And again, he does have an advantage. So I'm not saying that Paul is on the level of Derek, but he is definitely following Derek's rule book. If Derek wrote the DL rules, Paul will have read that book.
Yeah, well, it is a little concerning because he is demonstrating these aspects of Derek's gameplay, but I don't know if this is going to end up taking the Pauly route. Or yeah, he's going to end up maintaining this momentum, because this is already happening. Like, this is what is this only week 3 in the house?
Well, it's basically like week 2, really. I mean, if you think of it, like, there's been 2 HOHs.
Yeah, there's a marathon. This ain't a sprint, and there's a lot of gameplay that's still left to be had. So if he can continue to do this, and especially without immunity, then I feel good about his chances of winning. But, you know, I don't know if they're allowed in the backyard. That hot tub looks pretty tempting.
So at the end of this, Josh remains in the HOH room with Alex. He has a brief conversation with her where he says, basically, man, they just revealed a ton of information. Those people are so not trustworthy. Again, as I mentioned, Josh earlier in the day had already been gravitating toward Jason and Alex. This really solidified it for him. He's basically like, we need to take a shot at that side for sure. Make sure you take Jessica down so that one of them goes home. We'll go after them again next week. And at this point, I'm thinking, uh-oh, this could be the chink in Paul's armor. This could be the thing that's like, uh-oh, this is not good. But then he's like, but I trust Paul. He's the best.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everybody still trusts Paul in this circumstance. Everybody. I mean, except for Dominique, I guess. But this is really working in Paul's favor. I will say the one thing about Josh that I absolutely love. So this whole conversation happened. This is like hours of conversation. Then there's the conversation afterwards once Dominique leaves. And then Josh goes, was my name being thrown around?
Like, yeah.
Josh, are you paying attention? This has nothing to do with you. Just shut up and sit down. Oh, poor Josh.
And this whole myth of that Josh believes, where it's like, I watched. Did you watch Paul's season? Because I watched Paul's season. He is so honest. It's like, yeah. I don't know what game you were watching. Paul was not honest on his season. Friendship means nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's some filter that happened where like, at least 2/3 of the game got filtered out and Josh only saw the parts where Paul was being loyal. But I don't know what's wrong with it, boy.
Yeah. I will say I did tweet earlier in the day yesterday that I do think, again, like I said, I don't think going after Dominique was the right move, even though Paul is handling it very well. I think that Ramses is Paul's biggest competition right now. Ramses is the only person in the entire house that continues to say, guys, Paul, you got to look at Paul. Look, he's close to Josh. He's got Kevin. You can't trust those guys. You got to look at Paul. I think that if Paul leaves Ramses in the game for too long, that's going to be his downfall.
Yeah, the problem with that, though, is it depends on Ramsey actually getting other people to go along with him. And that has been his biggest problem so far, considering half the house is blaming him for everything that he's done. Like, I imagine somebody, breaks a cup or something. They're like, oh, I'm pretty sure Ramsey's knocked it off the shelf. So if Ramsey's can get past that and actually get people on his side, then he could take a shot at Paul. And that, that could lead to Paul's downfall.
Yeah. Oh, Ramsey's is basically Paul's. what's his name? Donnie. He's basically Paul's Donnie, where it's like he's the one person who just isn't buying into what Paul's saying. The problem is, though, I think Ramses is much more capable of winning an HOH than Donnie ever was. And if Donnie had ever won an HOH, Derek would have been in a lot of trouble. And again, I don't want to compare Paul to Derek too much. I just feel like there are a lot of similarities. I think Paul is definitely not on Derek's level. We can't say that yet at all, but I do think there are a lot of similarities. So, all right, that's our extra long update. There's definitely a lot to go through. I hope that everyone feels like they got a decent understanding of everything that went down, and that moving forward, why things are the way they are and where things are moving. It does look like Dominique is almost assuredly on her way out the door at this moment. It's going to be hard for her to really gain any momentum now. She already did her big play. She doesn't really have anything else to do. So it will probably have a bit of a slower week at this point, unless she really does just continue to fight, which is certainly possible. But I think it'll be a little slower for the rest of the week. We will probably see Dominique leave, at least at this moment. You never know. Never know.
Yeah, well, they played the whole week in like 24 hours. So maybe they got most of it out of their system. They'll be exhausted for the remaining week. But who knows? It's Big Brother.
Yeah. All right.
Unexpected.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. This is a fun one. I hope this wasn't too long for you. I hope you found it informative. Make sure you check out tomorrow night. We will have a recap of the Sunday night episode. I believe Brent and Alex will be on there. It will be after the Pacific Coast airing of it, because Rob will be busy doing the Snowwood Halls for Game of Thrones. So make sure you check that out. We will be back tomorrow morning at noon to give you another update. And we will have the LFC roundtable on Monday. And I have my own podcast coming out on probably Tuesday. So keep an eye out for that. I will give you the name of it and everything else very soon. And also make sure you check out the Big Brother 2 blockumentary we did, But First. Very, very fun stuff. So yes, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time.